guys are doing well. Thank you for your kind words and encouragement after the message last week. I think that's something that we as men constantly are going to be dealing with. But today we're going to kind of switch gears as promised, and we're going to talk a little bit about the ladies. And I'm serious when I say that I have no intention. I'm not going to play the tambourine, don't worry. Going to steal the stool here. We're not going to take the amount of time because as I put this together, I realized what we should have done last week is take 2 weeks with the men. And so we're going to attempt to take care of that by taking the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, with the ladies. We're calling this The View. And for obvious reasons. And hopefully by the time we get to the end of it, next week, men and women, you'll have a lot of resource there to kind of plan how you strategize and deal with the temptations that we face. Now, last week, in an effort to give fair and equal time, we kind of spoke from the man's side of things. Let me speak from the women's side of things this week. I call this She Speak. And men, I'm going to attempt to get us all on the same page in regard to words that the significant women in our lives use and what they mean and how we should respond to them. For instance, when she says fine, what that really means is that they're ending the argument and they're right and you need to shut up, basically. So when she says fine, think through that. Now, when she says 5 minutes, this is important to understand. 5 minutes means that, well, first of all, if she's dressing, that means a half an hour. But it's only 5 minutes if you only have 5 more minutes to watch the game before you have to go help around the house or run errands or whatever. That's when 5 minutes takes a literal meaning. When she says nothing, what's wrong, honey? Nothing. When she says nothing, well, nothing means that the storm is coming. This is the eye of the storm, the calm before the storm. It means essentially this: be on your toes, fella. Be ready. Because arguments that begin with nothing usually end with fine. So just be thinking through that. When she says, go ahead, men, please hear me on this. This is not permission. It's a dare. Don't do whatever it is she just said, go ahead and do. You should never, ever do that. The loud sigh. We think of that as nonverbal communication. Actually, it is verbal communication. It's actually a word that means she thinks you're an idiot and wonders why she's wasting her time standing here arguing with you about nothing. By the way, you might want to refer back to the meaning of nothing that we just talked about. When she says, that's okay, you would think that was good, but it's among the most dangerous statements that your women can make. It means she wants to think long and hard deciding how you're going to pay for whatever the mistake you just made was. That's okay means you're in deep, deep, deep water. When she says thanks, actually, this is good, men. Thanks is not, you don't question it. Don't try to defend it. Don't try to inquire why. Just say you're welcome. By the way, if she includes the phrase a lot at the end of it, you never say you're welcome for that. That's always pure sarcasm, and that means that you're going to get the next statement, which is whatever. Whatever basically means that you don't have a choice. That's not saying that you have an opportunity there. It means that, up yours, fella. So just so you know, that's what whatever means. And so now that we kind of have our she speak down, let's get a grip on where we're going to go with our ladies today. Women psychologists tell us that the dominant psychological need for women is security. And I've asked enough this week, and most of them tend to agree with that. They want to know that they are secure in your love, secure in the family, secure in whatever. And that seems to be a fairly common. But because so much of female security is wrapped up in how she sees her world, as temptations attack her, ladies, as temptations attack you, many of your temptations and struggles are going to then involve how you view your world. And so I took the word view. I stole it from the TV show by the same name. But I took the word view and I broke it down into components. And two things we will not talk about as far as temptations. We will not talk about chocolate. And we will not talk about the desire some women have to kill their husbands. Those two things we're not going to talk about. We are going to talk about several things. We're going to talk about virtue, image, expectation, and worry over the next 2 weeks. And today we're just going to talk about the first one. A guy by the name of Carl Zimmerman wrote a book called Family and Civilization, where he went back and he examined why civilizations, why cultures disintegrated. And here's what he found. He found that among all the great world cultures, dating back to Egypt and coming forward, that had disintegrated, there were common elements. Listen to these. Marriage began to lose its sacredness and divorce became common. The traditional meaning of the marriage ceremony was lost. Feminist movements began to emerge and abound. Public disrespect for parents and therefore all authority began to increase. They began to see rampant accelerations among juvenile delinquency and promiscuity and rebellion among people. He also noted that the family and traditional marriages where they had stayed together refused to accept family responsibilities. Literally what he saw was that people began to say, you know what, I don't want to bear children into this world. And so the traditional families ceased to birth children. You began to see a desire and an acceptance of adultery, and you began to see that increase rapidly. And ultimately, he saw an interest in sexual perversion and sex-related crimes increase as well. Now, here's what you would think. You would think that Zimmerman looked at our culture and said somewhere in the 90s and into the new millennium, wow, that's what's going on. Look at how we kind of fit that mold. Here's what's interesting. He wrote this in 1947. 62 years ago, this book came out. So this is not new. Ladies, as we talk about your temptations, we understand that these things are not new. But we want to address them honestly and hopefully with a degree of breadth that will benefit you. As we look at the view, there are four things over the next 2 weeks I noted that we were going to talk about. Virtue, image, expectation, and worry. You'll notice on your note page, only one side, and we're only going to be talking about the V today. We're going to be talking about virtue. How do you deal with the temptation in regard to your virtue, ladies? I'll remind you, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. We used this verse for the men last week. God wants you to be holy. How does God want us to be holy? Some translations say God's will here. Okay, what's God's will? God's will is holiness. So you should, he says, keep clear of all sexual sin. And here's what we know. 67% of women, this is from a Christian counselor, 67% of women will experience at least one premarital or extramarital affair in her lifetime. Those are the women who act it out. What you find is that it's not just the women who act it out who are dealing with the temptation. In fact, the estimate is closer to 90% of women deal or experience the temptation to go outside of their marriage, outside of their virtue, if you will, to find some fulfillment that they're not getting within that relationship. And ladies, last week I shared with the men, the book Every Man's Battle, the book Hedges, and gave you a list of some things. Let me suggest a book for you ladies. It's absolutely outstanding. It's called Every Woman's Battle. And it's by Shannon Etheridge, and I think you will find it beneficial reading. I had a counselor tell me this week, it's one of the best books for women that I've ever read in my life. It fits what we're going to talk about here with the V. That 67%, two-thirds of all women, by this counselor's estimate, are engaged or have an experience in one extramarital affair or more during their lifetime, and probably 90% are tempted. The real differences between men and women fall and indicate the gateway, ladies, of your temptations. Consider this. Men, as we said last week, crave physical intimacy. Women, on the other hand, crave emotional intimacy. Men give love to get sex. Women typically give sex to get love. Men have the ability to compartmentalize. They disconnect their body from their mind, heart, and soul. And the ladies are going, yes, that's exactly true. They disconnect their mind from most things. Women, on the other hand, are integrated, intricately integrated in their body, their mind, their heart, and their soul. Men can be stimulated visually by what they see. We are primarily stimulated visually. Women, on the other hand, we learn are stimulated as much by what they hear as what they see. Words mean much to women, men. Men have a recurrent physical needs cycle. Their sex drive recycles very quickly. Women, on the other hand, have a recurrent emotional needs cycle. And what happens with men is that because we are vulnerable to unfaithfulness when there is no physical touch, when we are not being taken care of physically, we find with our wives, we find with women that they are vulnerable to unfaithfulness when there is no emotional connection. Now hear me, men, and I appreciate your words of encouragement. By email, by phone call, at our men's meeting on Thursday morning, many men came up to me, wives, and this is important to note. Said, thank you for saying what you said about, listen, women, if you are not taking care of your men physically, you are making him vulnerable to sexual temptation. Thank you for saying that. Men, you're welcome. That needs to be said in our culture. The scripture is very open and clear about that. But men, the opposite is true about us and our women. And here's the point, that if you are not meeting her emotional needs, if there is no emotional connection, you are doing to her exactly what she does to you when she doesn't deal with you, help you out physically. So men, if you want to help your women out, if you want to encourage her, emotionally feed her. Don't starve her emotionally. That means you're going to have some conversations. You're going to have some thoughts. You're going to have some consideration in ways you may not have ever done that before. And so take care of her emotionally. A woman's battle for virtue then is not just physical, it's also emotional. Etheridge says in her book, when a woman falls into a sexual affair, most often her affair begins as an emotional one. It's out of her emotional needs that her heart cries out for someone to satisfy her innermost desires to be loved, needed, valued, and cherished. Men, take that as your homework. Take that as what you are going to work on and do this week. Let me tell you something. It makes a difference. I had a wife send me an email this week and say, I just want to say thank you. And she detailed why. And she said, let me tell you the change in my husband. She said, every day this week, he has left a card on my pillow. She said, he's never done that before. And this is a man's man. He's a tough guy. And I saw him the other day and I smiled and I looked at him and said, I hear you've been being a good husband. And he goes, what? And I said, I know some things. And he goes, you talking about the cards? And I said, yeah. And he kind of smiled and ducked his head. And I said, don't you be ashamed about that. That's what we ought to be doing. That's how we ought to be addressing. Find out what really lights her fire as far as her emotional needs. And men, you address that. That's your homework for this week. Ladies, consider this. The problem with most of our strategies to remain sexually pure is that they focus on physical boundaries. But the bottom line is, there's an emotional progression to loss of your virtue as a woman. And so those issues need to be, that progression needs to be dealt with as well. And we don't need to act like it doesn't exist, because here's what we know. Naivete is not a virtue. So we have to play cunning, we have to play smart, we have to think through and process through very decisively, what are some steps that I have to take? What are some things that I need to do? Okay, now let's look at some scripture. Galatians 6:8 reads this way. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that sinful nature will reap destruction. What's your thought process as you launch out into this? What nature are you feeding? What are you looking to generate or to harvest from this? If you sow to your sinful nature, then you're going to reap destruction. That's what the scripture says. So let me give you 8 strategies. The V8, as I call them. Wow, I could have had a V8. Strategies to keep your virtue. First and foremost, ladies, and I have said this to everyone from youth to college students to single again to married partners in struggling relationships. More than anything else, ladies, what you must do, what you need to do is fall in love with Jesus first. Men, this is not a shot at your manhood or your husbandry. The most important man in her life needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And real men recognize that. Real men champion that in their women. Ladies, real women pursue that passionately. Listen to what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Ladies, does that not sound like a women's connection? This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now remember that because we're going to come back to that later on in the message. Fall in love with Jesus first. Etheridge says this, while avoiding unhealthy emotions and relationships is important, it's not enough to guarantee success in keeping our hearts guarded against compromise. The secret to ultimate emotional satisfaction is to pursue a mad, passionate love relationship with the one who made our hearts. The secret is to focus on your heart, or to focus your heart on your first love. So the question is, what about my first love? And let me ask you to ask yourselves some honest questions today, ladies. First of all, have I really invested as much time in getting to know God personally and intimately as I need to? A lot of times we think our relationship with God just happens. It requires an investment. The term intimacy, I love this definition, needs to be broken down in its syllables. Into me, see. As much as we look for that, ladies, from a man, only God can really, truly do that in a way that will affect you forever. So have we really invested the time in getting to know God personally and intimately? Secondly, 2 Corinthians 11, by the way, kind of embellishes this idea. Listen, and this is written to the church, the bride of Christ. But ladies, it doubly applies to you all. Listen to what the Lord says. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. And I'm afraid that even as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Listen to what the Lord says over you, ladies. Let him speak over you this morning. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Translation, I am passionate about your love and your devotion. I am focused and fixated on you. There's a very intimate personal meaning as well as the corporate meaning for the church. A second strategy to keep your virtue, ladies, get your head right. Understand your thinking. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient. Note that last phrase, captive every thought to make it obedient. How are you doing, ladies? Psalm 26:2 says this, and the psalmist didn't say, examine my actions, examine my intent. He said, Lord, examine me and test my heart and my mind. He went straight to why you do what you do, what your process is. And if that's true, and if 2 Corinthians is true, the concept of getting our head right, ladies, applies as much or more to you than it ever does to men. And it applies plenty to men. Understand this, thinking equals rehearsing. So when you consider in your mind, and by the way, psychologists and the people who study these things tell us women typically have more emotional affairs than men do. They become emotionally attached for a variety of reasons. It's interesting. Etheridge starts her book saying, I was married to my husband, I think his name is Greg, and she said, I was having affairs with five men while I was married to him. And she went on to list them. None of them were physical affairs. All of them were emotional affairs, ladies. And just because you're not doing it physically doesn't mean that you are safe. Because how you think basically equals rehearsing. What are you rehearsing in your head? Philippians 4 says it this way. Whatever is true, whatever is right, or whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, is there anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, how many of us have heard that scripture? All of us heard that scripture. A lot of you guys have it memorized, have it highlighted in your Bible. How many of us read on to verse 9? Listen to what verse 9 says. And the things you learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And notice here that you let your mind dwell on and you begin to practice these things. What you think is a rehearsal for what you do. And look, if you're doing it in the right way, look what Paul says happens. And the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God rests upon you, ladies. What are you rehearsing in your head? What are you thinking? Because no temptation becomes sin without your permission. You're the one that grants access. You're the one that allows it to happen. So how do you put your matters over your mind? How do you take those thoughts captive? Well, first of all, there's the concept that, listen, you can't avoid, you can redirect. You can't stop a random inappropriate thought from popping into your head. Listen, I'm a guy and we major on inappropriate thoughts. And I understand that you can't stop them from popping into your head. You would be surprised if you could. You remember the movie What Women Want, you know, with Mel Gibson? Remember he had the ability to hear what women were thinking? And that was really cool at the beginning of the movie, and then he began to see it came with a price tag. Comes with the responsibility. You'd be amazed what is in the minds of those around you today, right now. As you walked into this building, as you leave here in a few moments, as you go to work, as you drive to school or wherever it is you're going to be. You can't stop inappropriate thoughts from entering your mind. But you can avoid dwelling on them. You have the power. We want to empower you this morning to be able to do that. And you do that, first of all, by redirecting those thoughts. Consider this. Redirect them back to your Creator. You see a good-looking guy. And rather than taking that and begin to turn that over and let that kind of broil and roast in your mind, say, Lord, you know what? Thank you for creating him that way. Man, the same is true of us. Lord, thank you for that beauty. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that loveliness. It's amazing when you take it back to the Creator. One of the things I always did as a youth minister, as a father of daughters, of a daughter, is I recognized, you know what? I have no business allowing myself to dwell on any kind of inappropriate thought that there may be, because that's somebody else's little girl. That's somebody else's little boy. And that changes when you redirect that thought and you take it all the way back to the Creator. You realize this is a life that God has knit together and set forth and unleashed in this world for a reason, for a purpose. And it helps redirect the inappropriate things that come into our minds. Let me give you several other examples. Talk to the Lord right then. Don't wait. Don't give yourself time to dwell on it. Talk to the Lord right now. If you have scripture that you've memorized, that's what many of us do. Fall back on the scripture that you've memorized. Or a Christian, the lyric to a Christian song that you know. This doesn't just apply to temptation. It applies to thoughts of negative thoughts and self-condemning thoughts that you may have. One of the scriptures I fall back on all the time is Romans 8:1. Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That leaves no room, no wiggle room for any kind of condemnation. God has stated it. The same is true with other kinds of temptations. Pray for his wife or his kids. See, you're taking an active role in redirecting your thoughts. I love this hint. Move on. Do the next thing. Turn the page. Turn the corner. Go to the next meeting. Don't just stay there in the pool. Move on. The second way to take those thoughts captive, to deal with those things, is to renew, refresh, and refill. We've always, for years and years in discipleship, talked about forcing out negative thoughts, condemning thoughts, inappropriate thoughts. Refill with something else. Ephesians 4 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self. Take it off like a nasty outfit. Your old self is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self and be created like God in your true righteousness. Romans 12 says, listen, don't conform to the standards of this world, but be transformed inwardly by a complete change of your mind, by the renewal of your mind. And then you will be able to know the will of God, that which is good and pleasing and that which is perfect. Renew, refresh, refill in the Lord. You got to change your batteries. You got to improve. You got to add something. The next strategy, guard your heart. Proverbs 4 says, above all else, guard your heart. And this is, I think, the most important word in the verse. It is the wellspring, the source of who you are. It's the source that directs your will, that directs your intentions, that directs your motivation. Listen to what Matthew 5 in the Message paraphrase says. Love the way Patterson deals with this. You know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they're corrupt too. Guard your heart against that. The next step, diet right. What's your input? What are you feasting on as you prepare yourself? And this goes to the idea, the concept of resisting temptation by resisting input. You limit access to your mind and your heart. Let me ask you this. What are you reading, ladies? Men typically buy porno magazines or go to websites and look at pictures. Women read novels. Read magazine articles, watch movies, see stories. So what are you reading? What are you viewing, ladies? What are you listening to? I heard about a study that was done where the speaker had people come up and think about the greatest day of their life, the most empowering moment in their existence. And then he had them stand with their arms out. And he would try to push their arms down, but they were empowered by what they were thinking, by what the input into their life had been. And then he said, okay, now I want you to think about your greatest failure, your toughest moment, the hardest time, the darkest period of your life. And it was amazing, the same people, with much more ease, he was able to lower their arms. There is a connection between your behavior and what you think. And there is a connection between what you think and what your heart is, and what you are putting into it. I told you that when I really decided to get serious for Christ, I disposed of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of music. I had to. My survival was at stake. Ladies, for some of you, your survival is at stake today. Your virtuous survival is at hand. And part of what you need to do is dispose of some of your input. Maybe it's the magazines you buy right next to the cash register at the grocery store. Maybe it's your viewing habits. Maybe it's what you listen to. One day when I was in youth ministry, I went over, I would eat lunch in the schools with our students. And I had a girl in my youth group who was arguably one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. She was, as a freshman in high school, absolutely phenomenally lovely. She was a cheerleader at her school. And the day I went, she was in her cheerleading uniform. I remember that. And I went, and we were eating in the cafeteria at this school, and we sat down. And she's across the table from me, and some of her friends were around us at the table. And this boy comes up, and he sits down, and he says, or he sits in the seat and scoots her over, and he says, "Move over, B-word." I almost came completely unglued. I seriously almost physically went after this kid. And I looked at him and I said, "Son, did your mama teach you to talk to women that way?" And he went, "Huh?" And I said, "What you just said, did your mama teach you to talk to women that way?" He goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." And the girls around me said, "Oh, that's just the way." And they referred to some of their music and the way that they were taught, that their music referred to women. I said, "Son, until you can be a man, don't you come back to this table. Why don't you pick yourself up and get out of here? I'm going to throw you out. Don't let me ever hear you refer to this girl or any other that way. Because you do not speak to women that way. Now run along, little boy." And he was very confused, and she looked at him and said, I'm sorry, maybe you need to meet my youth minister." And he got this horrible look in his eyes and kind of tripped off. It went back to what he was consuming. It went back to what he listened to. It went back specifically for him to his music. And you know the part that offended me the most about that? Women hear this. They allowed him to talk to him that way, to them that way. Ladies, you're better. Don't let culture impose vocabulary on you. You are worth more than that. Diet right. You go on these incredible diets to get the body that you want. Don't forget your soul. Men, they deserve better. Another strategy. What were you saying? Psalm 19:14 says this: "May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." James says this: "The tongue is a fire." But look what it says. It corrupts the whole person. Ladies, what do you say about yourself? What is the communication that you have about yourself? The communication that you have about others? What are you communicating to men? What are you communicating to other people? What are you saying? Do you criticize rather than bless? Strive in your life to bless people. What about how you flirt? Listen, everybody does it. Not smart people. Not virtuous people. Don't flirt with disaster. Be careful about your complaining, the wine and the cheese. I've heard of many women that get into affairs because they go to another man who is more than willing to be a sympathetic ear, and things escalate and accelerate. Be very, very careful about who you tell your problems to. Ladies, be careful about inappropriate counseling and praying. Remember when I was in college, we did a big college week up in Glorieta, New Mexico, at the encampment up there called Student Week. There would be 3,000-4,000 college students there. It was great. It was awesome. It remains four of the best weeks of my life as I did that for 4 years in college. And one of the things that we would do is we would go to the prayer gardens. It was amazing how much spiritual praying turned into praying in tongues, if you know what I'm saying. There was a lot of praying that was going on in the prayer gardens that wasn't spiritual at all. So be very careful about inappropriate counseling and praying. It can lead, a great thing can lead to tough situations. What are you saying in the way that you're saying that, ladies? Very quickly, never negotiate with compromise. Remember what we said to the men last week? Or do you not know that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Ladies, you're about to start Beth Moore's study on Esther. She has a great line in that study. She's talking, ladies, about the way that you dress. And this is a woman speaking to women. This isn't a guy talking to girls. She says, basically, ladies, think through how you dress. Because sometimes you're showing goods that are your husband's. Or your future husband's if you're not married. Be very, very careful how you dress. Dress for success. What is your version of success? What are you trying to do? You trying to get the men? Remember, if you love your God and you love your brother, then how is the way you're dressing? How is your companionship, and how is your behavior reflecting that? Consider this, ladies. You teach people how you want to be treated. One of the things that my wife and I had this conversation yesterday, and this is coming from her. She said, one of the things that I see is when a woman gets out of a relationship, whether she's married and divorces, whether she's in a serious relationship and moves on to the next one, she changes the way she dresses. Very often we see that. And her dress reflects apparently what she wants people to think about her. You teach people, ladies, how you want to be treated. Proverbs 31 says about women that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You want to be taken seriously in the workplace? Ladies, think about the way you dress. Women who dress in a more sleazy fashion, in a more casual fashion, in the marketplace will tell you over and over and over and over, I'm not taken seriously as a professional. I'm seen as an object. Ladies, the same is true for you who are students in school. How do you want to be seen? You teach people the way you want to be treated. If this girl at the school I talked about earlier was in the habit of dressing kind of in a loose way, I would expect her to be talked to and treated the way that she was. She didn't do that. I'm grateful for that. One of the things I've tried to do with my daughter is to connect her with women who have great physical beauty and great integrity and character. Ladies, how do you want to be treated? 1 Timothy 2, couple of scriptures. He says, I want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Now, that's not saying you can't braid your hair or that you can't wear jewelry. Listen to what he says at the end. But with good deeds and appropriate for that are appropriate for women who profess to worship God. What Paul is saying to Timothy is, listen, teach our girls. Teach our women. Let what's attractive about you be your character. Let that be what people see. Let that be what people reflect on. And oh, by the way, and she's hot too. But let the predominant thing be, oh my gosh, this woman is amazing. Men, do not answer this out loud if you value your life. But let me ask you this question. How many of you want a woman with that kind of package? All of us. We're not just looking for the body or the look. We want a woman of character. 1 Peter 3, Peter picks up this same thought and he says, listen, your beauty doesn't come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes, but let it be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Ladies, that's not saying you can't be beautiful. That's not saying you can't have a great outfit. That's not saying that you can't wear jewelry. That's not saying you can't do everything you can to be physically appealing and attractive. But it is saying, listen, don't sacrifice your character to achieve that. Let that be the attractive thing about you. Very quickly, let me move on so we can wind this thing down today. It says this about Joseph. Ladies, take a lesson from one of the most godly men you'll ever meet. Joseph is left in charge of Potiphar's house. Joseph, it says, is a very handsome man. It says in verse 6 of Genesis 39, he was well built and handsome. Ladies, he was pretty well put together. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, sleep with me, but he refused. He said, with me in charge, the master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has been entrusted to my care except you. And it says, and though day after day she spoke to Joseph, and that's the part I've always focused on in verse 10. Listen to what Joseph did. Think of the audacity of a slave to do this. He refused to go to bed with her. Okay, good. Or even to be with her. Ladies, he wouldn't even be in the same room with her. Avoid compromise with your companions. There are some people that you just don't ever need to be with. Some people that especially you never need to be alone with. There are some places you never need to go. And this isn't a legalistic thing. This is a love thing. Watch yourself. He refused to even be with her. Give your world a makeover. Proverbs 25 says this, a person without self-control is like a defenseless city whose walls have been broken down. Just as men need hedges, just as they need boundaries, you need to establish them in your life. Do your very best when you give physical attention to do it appropriately. Ladies, think about how you hang out with guys. Don't really like that statement. I'll probably have to rethink that one for the next message. Think of how you relate to men. Are you draped on them? Are you hanging on them? Give appropriate physical affection, appropriate hugs, appropriate physical. By the way, men need very, very little encouragement, ladies. I think of the line from Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying I have a chance. You know, we need very little encouragement. What you do, what you say, can have a massive, massive impact on them. Have appropriate boundaries. But more than anything else, as you set those boundaries, who are you with? How are you with them? I don't think it's a good idea for an unmarried or for a man and a woman who are not married to be together in private, usually ever. Avoid it if at all possible. Open the door. Do it in a place with a window where there's visibility. Again, we're trying to preserve your virtue and your character. Make sure you fall the right way. When you give away your heart, make sure you do it the right way. Isaiah 26 recommends this. But you'll keep in perfect peace all who trust you, whose hearts are fixed on you. Ladies, you hear that? God will keep in perfect peace those whose thoughts are fixed on Him. So you worried about getting a husband? And your 10-year reunion's coming up and you're not married yet? Prom's coming up 8 months away and you're worried about who am I going to have as a date? You've made it into college, you're in your second or third year or fourth year, and you're not seeing anybody, and the end of college is coming up. What do I do? Listen, I've given this advice over and over and over and over. Fix your life in Christ. Fix your heart in God. Don't go run out and try to get a man. let him do exactly what he did with Eve. It says that when he created her, he presented her before Adam, and he went, whoa, man, I got to have that. Let God make that match. Trust in the Lord always. The Lord God is your eternal rock. Ladies, fall the right way. Fall in love with God. In Romans 15, and we'll end with this, says, so ladies, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, as we end the talk about thee in the word view, ladies, I hope you've been encouraged. I hope it's helped you out. Let's do the thing that we said very first and foremost, and that's this. Run into the arms of the Lord Jesus. Run into the arms of your Savior. Some of you need to, for the first time ever in your life, embrace him as your Savior and give your life to him. Exchange all of who you are for all of what he is. And let him redeem your life and make you new and forgive your sin and to attach his eternal purpose to you. Men, it's not just limited to the ladies. Maybe you need to receive Christ as Savior. As we pray here in just a moment, you have a conversation with him. For whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10 says. You have a conversation with God. Talk to him about that. You don't have to have perfect language or know all the right religious terms to say. God's reading your heart. Tell him you're sorry for your sin. Tell him you want to change. Tell him you need to move from death to life, from sin to saving. And trust him in the work that he did on the cross, the resurrected Lord who wants to change you. Ladies, I suspect there are some of you guys who need to pray a prayer of hope and encouragement. Some of you may need to pray a prayer of confession and repentance. But as you seek to become a virtuous woman, seek to remain a virtuous woman, seek to be the woman God wants you to be so that his hope and his peace can rest upon you, you have a conversation with God. That's your application this morning. Pray with me during this time of invitation. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you that you would bring us together for encouragement from your word. Father, it's great to sing and to lift our voices and our hearts and our hands in praise to you because you deserve all the honor and praise that we can bring. Father, you are most honored, I think, when we as your children live lives that reflect what you've done and how you've changed us in our lives. Lord, let there be a distinct difference. Let our culture note and see that our women live differently, that we have the hottest women in the world, but Lord, they live differently because they're women of virtue. They're women whose primary consideration is what the most important man in their life thinks because they've related rightly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let the attraction be to the difference maker in their life, not to the fact that they're the same as everybody else. Father, I pray that we as men would be motivated and energized this morning to afford the women in our life the respect and the love and the emotional support that they crave. But we know it now, and there is no excuse for us not to give it. It's on us as men to provide that for her. Father, we would do that with an unselfish attitude that's looking for her greatest good and not just to satisfy our selfish needs. Father, I pray for marriages here this morning that because of the tone of last week and because of the topic of this week, Lord, there would be marriages who would be saved and changed. Father, if there are those who are addicted to lust, Lord, that you would break that spirit in them. You would break that addiction in their lives. You would end that hold that it has upon them. Father, that as you rain down your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness on them, that they would be moved forward, empowered to live a different life. Father, for some in this room who need to receive you as Lord and Savior, that they would embrace you right now. Lord, they would fall literally into your arms and your peace would rest on them. Father, help us to be motivated and energized to live obedient lives, befitting of those who claim the name of Jesus. Different, strategic, empowered. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thanks for being here. There is a communication card. You can tell us what's going on in your life. If you want to be a part of Discovery next week, make sure you let us know so we can reserve a place at the table for you. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll see you next week.